Hi, hi. The episode that follows is part of a 7-episode series on the trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow. Spoilers abound. Be sure you've watched the movie before listening. It's very, very trans, so beautiful and so important, but it is very emotionally heavy. You'll want to be in a good headspace and heart space before watching, and be sure to have someone to hug after. Onward we go. Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. Tilly Vision exits the atmosphere in the intentional trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow, Part 4. Our fear of our true selves is in the driver's seat, and that's bad news. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the lady who helped me get into the driver's seat of my own life, Susan Bridges.
Hello.
And our returning guest is cool lady Lila Sturges.
That's me. I'm in the driver's seat of my own life. It's not the best car in the world, but it's mine and I can drive it.
Yeah, we drive the cars we have, but you know, we get some repairs along the way. Maybe
we
make them work a little more the way we want.
Got a fresh paint job.
Little jazz.
Darn right. Yeah. All right, let's pick up where we left off. 33 minutes, 49 seconds. Owen walks to Maddie's house again. Green grass, pink sleeping bag rolled up, blue sky, but it still has those hints of pink. 34 minutes, 2 seconds. The laughing clown doing a very unsettling dance. Red light, danger. You're going to look like a clown if you explore your transness, Owen. These are his own fears rearing their head. But what are those fears based in? Internalized transphobia, which is why that clown is a minion of Mr. Melancholy. 34 minutes, 10 seconds. Maddie's show counterpart, Tara, calls that out as nonsense, kills the idea of the clown with an axe. This is your first confirmation of the connection between the axe, Tara, and Maddie. 34 minutes, 32 seconds. Maddie cries while watching the show. She's fully realizing her truth. It's heavy. Owen looks at her, studying, learning, but look right next to him. There is a pillow in the trans flag colors with a moon on it. But what's on Owen's shirt? A sun in the colors of fear and danger. Where does the moon get its light? Reflected from the sun. The transphobia is coming from inside the house, Owen. Ignore it. Fight it. Transness is right there if you'll just reach out and grab it. Oh, poor Owen.
I think this is another excellent moment for Bridget Lundy Payne. The loneliness, the sorrow.
Yeah.
The mourning. It's grief, I think, is what we're seeing. It's this acknowledgement of Maddie. Like if we think of this still as the real world, which I think we should do at times, right? Because we're presented something that is presented to us as the real world, right? That this character of Maddie is realizing that she cannot be who she is and stay where she is. And I think that is something that a lot of trans people have to accept. It's something that is very relevant to my life, understanding that if I take this step, my life is going to change in a big, huge way. And you grieve that, you mourn that, because it means losing people. It can mean losing significant relationships. In my case, it meant losing a spouse.
Yeah.
It was really, really, really hard. And I think this is what Maddie is contemplating, or at least that's what I was thinking about when I saw the scene.
Yeah, no, I think she absolutely is, because after this, we'll get to in just a few minutes, she tells Owen she's leaving because she knows, and we know that her stepfather has levied violence upon her for exploring her transness. And so she knows that to be her true self, what she needs to do, she cannot be there.
Mm-hmm. She says, I'll die if I stay here.
34 minutes, 51 seconds. When the show is over, the green fish tank dysphoria is front and center again. There's yelling and fighting upstairs. Did Maddie's parents find out what she was doing in the basement? 35 minutes, 19 seconds. Maddie, I'm getting out of this town. She now fully knows her truth and knows she can't live it at home with a violently transphobic family. There are pink hearts on her shirt. She's in transness but bathed in blue. Sad because her family has rejected her for who she is. And look at the yellow fear right behind her. It is a scary thing to do. But she also looks less femme here. She's already moving closer to her true self. 35 minutes, 45 seconds. Maddie, I'll die if I stay here. She'd have to suppress her true self, and that is a very real kind of death. But also transphobic families pose a real threat of danger and violence to trans kids, as we talked about before. As horribly sad as that is, it is the truth. 36 minutes, 10 seconds. Owen, if you leave, I won't have anyone to watch the pink opaque with. You are my only access to my transness and exploring who I am. If you go, I will lose that. There is no safe space for him without her. 36 minutes, 40 seconds. Maddie tells him to sit up. We see his shirt is blue. Green dysphoria light washes over him.
And what a beautiful moment this is.
Yeah, it's so intimate.
Cried real tears at the intimacy of this and the absolute beauty of this. And I have things to say about it, but I'll let you talk about it first.
Okay.
Okay.
37 minutes, 5 seconds. She unbuttons his shirt and pulls it down, exposing the true Owen, Isabel. Owen does not protest or even seem startled by what she's doing. At best, his expression gives off a, what, here? Now? Vibe? This is emotional and intimate, but it is not sexual. We know that watching the pink opaque together is them exploring the truth of their transness together, right? And if they've been doing that all along, it stands to reason they maybe swapped clothes, helped each other try things on. Confirmation for this comes later on. He's not surprised by what's happening. Maddie draws the pink opaque ghost on him with a marker, making him closer to Isabel as a reminder of his transness so he won't forget or lose it after she's gone.
It's just another beautiful gift of intimacy from,
yeah,
from Maddie. And I think it kind of reflects in, I think, the way that many trans women relate to each other, that there is this depth of intimacy that we have, that I've remarked on many, many times. And also the idea that to another trans person, your body isn't the scary thing that it can be to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that I think Maddie's intimacy with Owen's body is another kind of gift. It's not a sexual gift. It's a gift of saying that your body is okay. Like, your body is beautiful. Your body is you, and you don't need to hate it. And
yeah,
I think that there is something really, really beautiful about that.
There is, especially because, you know, for so many of us, early on or before we even figure it out, we've been so repulsed by our bodies for so long. You know, they don't feel like ours. They feel like a machine we're piloting from somewhere far away. And so you don't have this connection to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
38 minutes, 43 seconds. Static floats over Owen's head, blue and green, his mind a swirl of feelings, like Barbie in the white void with Ruth at the end of Barbie. But look, the pink is still in there. He just can't see it clearly because of all that damn static.
And there's something interesting, too, which I noticed on my second viewing of the film, which is that, and I think this is really interesting, the static is reflected in the glass of the fish tank, which means that the static is real. It is actually there in the room with Owen. Like,
yeah,
that confusion is a literal, tangible thing.
Yeah, it's not imagined. It's not,
yeah,
you know, it's a real thing we all have to figure out and deal with, and it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
39 minutes, 5 seconds. Owen furiously scrubs the pink ghost off his neck. Oh God, what if they see? What if they know what might happen? I can't let them see. Note that in the mirror, he's bathed in yellow light. Fear. On the commentary, at this moment, Jane says, shame. Bridget says, I always feel hurt when I see this. Me too, it broke my heart, because society's transphobia and that internalized transphobia has told him his transness is bad and wrong, and he's ashamed of it, ashamed that he can't stop seeking it out and exploring it. He shouldn't want to. It's not quote-unquote normal. It is heartbreaking, and I lived through it many, many times.
I have a very distinct memory of, I had gone and when no one else was around, and I bought some nail polish and I put
Yeah.
some nail polish on. And then my roommate was coming home, and so I tried to get it off, and there was still just like some little, because I did it right on my nails, and so there was still just a little stain of red, and I couldn't get it off. And I just remember, like, furiously, like that same exact
Yeah.
shame and horror. Like, if anyone sees this, I'm dead. I'm dead.
Yeah.
And you really believe that? Like, the stakes really feel that high. So, again, just another amazing moment of acting by.
Yeah.
Justice Smith.
Yeah.
Amazing.
39 minutes, 12 seconds. Look at how much transness surrounds him in the daylight. His shirt, the sleeping bag, the blanket on the couch, the carpet. The green fish tank somehow seemed smaller and less imposing. This is what accepting your transness can do for you, Owen. You could start like Maddie. And here, briefly, he thinks he might do just that. 39 minutes, 30 seconds. Maddie tells him not to tell anyone they're leaving. He asks where they'll go. Maddie, we'll know when we get there. You don't know what you're going to get on a transition, or if you'll find your truest self, or if or when it will end. You'll just know when you get there. 40 minutes. Owen goes to Johnny Link's house, furiously rings the doorbell. It's an emergency. Help. Terrified, he tells her the entire truth and tells her she has to tell his dad about the lies. Not that he's been exploring transness, because that could be fatal, but she has to tell his dad that he's been lying about where he's going so that he'll be punished and unable to join Maddie when she leaves. He's too scared. He's severing the link between him and Maddie, between himself and his transness.
This is the most amazing piece of stunt casting that has ever been done in any film ever. So, Johnny Link's mom is played by Amber
Right.
Benson.
That
Amber
I knew.
Benson, who played Tara on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So, when you, as a Buffy fan, which you are sort of presumed to be, I feel like the presumed audience of this film has watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, right?
Yeah, I would agree.
And so when you see Amber Benson playing someone who is not Tara, you are reminded that Tara is not real. Tara is a fiction that is embodied by an actress named Amber Benson, right? Who is now playing someone else. Tara, not real. So by going to the door and ringing that, he is bringing out the knowledge that Tara is not a real person, which I think is like, incredibly sly and clever.
It is.
And it is not a coincidence. Like, it feels like an interpretive leap, but I think that is the exact motivation for that scene.
I would agree with you because there are so many things in this movie that are just as sly and clever as that is. And that's something I would have never picked up on having not seen a lot of Buffy. So I'm really glad that you were here to offer that insight. 40 minutes, 20 seconds. Owen, you can't let me go with her. I don't want to leave my home. He scrubbed the pink ghost off his neck as best he could, but traces remain. His shirt is still pink, but now it's covered by green. Giving in to dysphoria won't work. It won't get rid of your transness, Owen. You're just trying to pretend you didn't see it, that it's not there, but that doesn't make it go away.
Although in seeing the back of his neck,
Yeah.
it doesn't look pink. It looks red.
Well, because he scrubbed it so hard, yeah.
Like, so I just feel like, is it really pink we're seeing here, or is this just panic, red
Danger.
danger?
Yeah, it's probably a bit of both. 40 minutes, 27 seconds. The chalk on the street outside is a jumble of pinks and blues in equal amounts, and he's entirely separated from it by the green grass. 40 minutes, 37 seconds. Owen, my mom passed away the next July. Well, he severed the link and cut off access to his transness, and so he lost his only access to femininity. And then Maddie was gone. She left without him. 40 minutes, 46 seconds. Maddie's house is surrounded by cop cars, red lights, and yellow caution tape. Danger, fear. This is what could have happened to you, Owen. This also sadly reflects the way transness worked for people in the past. They were often forced to uproot and disappear, quote unquote, woodwork, and pretend to be cis. There's more about this in the episode on transmedicalism and WPATH version 1. 40 minutes, 58 seconds. Owen, all they found was her TV set burning in the backyard. Look at Owen's face lit in half yellow and half blue, perfectly split down the middle. You know exactly what this did to him. 41 minutes, 3 seconds. The burning TV. Yellow. Fear destroyed Owen's only access to his transness through Maddie and the TV. 41 minutes, 10 seconds, Owen. And the strangest part of it all was the month Maddie disappeared, the Pink Opaque got canceled. Super text. Yeah, he cut off his access to exploring transness, so of course the quote unquote show that represented it disappeared. 41 minutes, 39 seconds. Cut to adult Owen watching the campfire again, its yellow light across his face. 41 minutes, 51 seconds. We get a shot of future, or I guess present, Owen in the fun center, all blue and yellow and red. Lights flickering, things are dark and unclear and awful. 42 minutes, 4 seconds. Look at the one half-inflated balloon, the entirely yellow wall that meets the entirely blue wall. There is no joy to be found on this path he set himself on.
And it's again a place that's supposed to be fun.
Supposed to be
Supposed to be
fun.
fun. The whole
And
point of
it's.
it is that it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's absolute misery
It
for Owen.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's misery to watch.
Every
Yeah.
second of it is misery.
It is. 42 minutes, 12 seconds. Owen steps into the literal spotlight. We're 8 years later. 42 minutes, 47 seconds. Owen orders food in the drive-thru. It's awkward and weird. Everything in life feels this way when dealing with dysphoria and having no confidence whatsoever. See the Trans Tuesday on confidence at tillystranstuesdays.com for more. And then see the Trans Tuesday on confidence 2, Into the Unknown, aka A Whole New World, aka What Is Happening? When, much to my surprise, everything changed for me 2 years into transition. 43 minutes, 8 seconds. Owen's at work. There's despair everywhere. The exit sign is a bright red. The exit from the sadness transitioning, Owen only sees it as danger. 43 minutes, 18 seconds. Owen opens the door on the manager receiving oral sex from a woman. What does the idea of sex do to him? A little bit of fear and a whole lot of dysphoria. This is something that happens to a lot of trans people, where the idea of physical intimacy is terrifying and awful because we're so alienated and horrified by our own bodies. But also, for some of us, it's terrifying in ways that get tangled up with sexuality, as I talked about in the episode on Sexuality Is Not Gender. I'm exclusively attracted to women and always have been, and that complicated understanding my own gender a lot. And so, getting close to women in a sexual way was terrifying because it amplified those feelings. And it would almost make you confront them. Like, I may have sexual desires about this woman's body I'm close to, but there's something so much more than that under the surface about wanting to be her and have that body and not understanding it. It would spike dysphoria and envy and despair and mix it all up with attraction and desire. And you'll find this is why many trans people entirely disassociated during any sexual activity pre-transition, if we were even able to handle it at all. He gets laughed at for being uncomfortable with it. He apologizes, which again, Maddie told him never to do. You don't have to apologize for being uncomfortable due to the dysphoria you feel, especially in a situation that should not have even been happening in the first place, like sex in the workplace. 43 minutes, 34 seconds. Owen fills a bag with popcorn, yellow, blue, and red, all around him, keeping him confined. 43 minutes, 46 seconds. He looks outside. Danger of the exit signs, he sees only fear in the possibility of coming out, and emptiness as his only reward. Look at the shopping carts, they are all empty. 43 minutes, 51 seconds. Owen's co-workers make fun of him for feeling weird about barging in on the thing that should not have even been happening, but he's the weird one? Look how he's in despair, and that's all he sees in his manager, too. And on his manager's side, danger, right behind him, fear, and the green dysphoria permeating everything. 44 minutes, 33 seconds. Owen drives home. His own reflection is fear. For more on being terrified of our own reflections when we don't see ourselves, see that Trans Tuesday on photos and reflections at tillystranstuesdays.com. Then we get to the sparking electricity from a power line down in the road. The connection has been severed between Owen and his way forward.
Okay, again, I need to be
Yeah.
the bearer of Buffy trivia because
Yeah,
this
do it.
is super, super important to how you interpret the back part of this film. So, in the history of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, season 5 was going to be the final season of the show. The show had been canceled at its current network. So, They wrote an ending for the show in which Buffy dies. Okay. At the end of season five of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Buffy dies and is buried. Okay. As it so happens, the show was brought to another network and it was allowed to continue for a sixth season. In the first episode of the sixth season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Buffy, brought back to life, has to claw her way out of a coffin in which she has been entombed. Okay. I just want to make that very clear before we discuss the rest of what happens in this film.
Wow, you got my gears going now. Like, that, wow. Yeah. That has to all be super intentional.
It's so intentional. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's just couldn't not be intentional. It has to be intentional. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just love the use of Buffy the Vampire Slayer as like this textual allusion and
Yeah.
like a textual framework that is used in order to explicate something. I just think it's so fascinating that the creator of this film used that TV show as like a foundational text to draw from for
Yeah.
elusive purposes. You know what I mean? I think it's just fascinating.
It is fascinating, and it's also remarkable that for someone like me who didn't have that, it still completely worked on every level. There was no point where I was lost or didn't, you know, it was that's really genius.
It's
That's
amazing.
really good
Yeah.
stuff. Yeah. 44 minutes, 43 seconds. Fear and danger in the lighting where Owen is, despair where the connection has been severed, and the electricity which illuminates the dysphoria from the trees. But look at that street light. And the light on the ground underneath it, doesn't it look pink? Is dysphoria, sadness, and fear are blocking the path to his transness? 44 minutes, 56 seconds. When he gets out of the car, the ground looks red, and now so does the street light. Danger, Owen, trying to remove this blockage means your entire life would change. You know it. 45 minutes, 24 seconds. Owen looks down. The torn pages are from Maddie's pink opaque book. This is what's become of his transness. It's in shreds. He sees Mr. Melancholy, transphobia. That's what's keeping him from accessing his transness, his own internalized transphobia. And there's so much of it we have to overcome, and we can't be our true selves until we do. And we can't overcome it until we recognize it, and Owen definitely cannot do that yet. 45 minutes, 41 seconds. Owen turns the page over, sees Mr. Sprinkly, the scary ice cream man. Again, things that should bring you joy do not when dysphoria blankets your life. 45 minutes, 50 seconds. Owen opens the paper. This moment seemed really important. Did I try to read what it said? You know I did, and Susan took photos of me with my face 3 inches from our giant TV screen, pausing and trying to read it all. I didn't know she was going to do that. If you want to see those photos, I
I
included them
just
in the
took them
text
for
write-up.
fun because I just saw you. And it was hilarious.
It was hilarious. The pictures are pretty funny. But to the best of my ability, here's what I was able to decipher. Most of them are not full sentences, they are just excerpts of sentences for a context. Escaped an ancient prison trapped inside the dark side. Man's lunar forces have finally stolen 1,000. Teenagers, now there's no moon, no sun, just melancholy. Season Mr. Melancholy finally tricked Tara and Isabel. Began back at their old sleepaway camp, now our heroes. Nightmarish hellscape, the likes of which they never could have imagined. Underground, hugged only by the branches of everyone's. Place where they first laid eyes on each other. That Mr. Melancholy's reign has officially begun. Somebody get her a tissue. Things have never been worse. A county-wide mandate passed by Senator Sprinkly. Never-ending math class. A new dress code restricts any citizen in the entire county from. The music the college radio station now only plays mattress. The double lunch has been transformed from the coolest club in town into Mr. Melancholy's. Where he, Marco, and Polo are keeping all four members of the Absolute Loser Brigade held prisoner. He's not planning to kill them anytime soon. He's just planning to feed endlessly on their weirdness. Everything beautiful about their souls into stinky star fuel. So where is Isabel? Where is Tara? Where are our heroes when we need them most? Somewhere very far away. In a town, oddly, reminiscent of the real world they need to, but different in so many subtle, insidious ways. But one thing is for sure, this town has bled of magic and wonder. It's all conformity, all the place our heroes no longer even remember. They are the pink opaque, here they don't like heroes anymore. Here every monster fought, every joke they ever shared, all heart-stopping, the pages of this very episode guide, real. No, instead, in this world, all just the weekly transmissions of a dumb TV show. Absurd, right? Who would fall for such? And Tara, at least at first. Can Isabel and Tara find each other again on the hazy? As it glows dimly, the Luna juice and soil is caught. I have much time, but then again, time might not work exactly. Think it does. After all, right now, aren't I? But you're also reading it now. Strange. Tara is the first one to realize something is very wrong. The quote-unquote home where she's been placed is little more than... Even though I couldn't decipher all of it, that's telling you the whole game right there.
Now, did you note which episode this is a description for?
It said it was from season six. I think it was the premiere. Season six premiere. One. Yeah. Yes.
Very importantly, season six.
Season six. The season mm-hmm. he didn't think existed.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we know later from Maddie that season six is when the two of them, quote unquote, escape the Midnight Realm, aka get away from Mr. Melancholy, Dysphoria, and Transition. So they're trapped in a living hell by Dysphoria, losing their lives and time to disassociating. Look how it gets metatextual. The pages of this very episode guide. You're also reading it now. Strange. Weird wording for an episode guide, don't you think? That's because it's not just an episode guide. Owen knows he's severing his own connection to his transness and transitioning in the future and condemning himself to a life of dysphoria and lost time from disassociating. This is his subconscious trying to call out to him to get him to accept his truth. Will he listen? Is he ready? Because we can never accept the truth about ourselves until we are. Thanks for being here, Lila.
Thanks so much for having me. I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, that's right. Come back next week, folks. You're gonna love it. Tilly Bridges and Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The Google Doc and social media versions of this week's topic and all past topics are available at TillysTransTuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky, Twitter, and Hive, on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, at facebook.com/TillySBridges, and on Insta and Threads at HeckYeahTillyBridges. And you can find Susan on most of those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at AudioJillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of TillysTransTuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies where I do a live Q&A. And it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.